Hello and welcome to another episode of What We Read in the Bedroom. I had to think there for a minute of what the new name of it was. I'm sorry, I am so tired right now. I just got off work. So it's right now it's 11:30 at night and I gotta get this recorded and done in a half hour, which and then edited. So I might be a little bit past the deadline. It has been a very long day. So I'm going to try to make this as short and sweet as possible if I can. And I definitely need to clean my computer off. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. We're going to get into our book. I had to think there for a minute of where we were. All right. Okay. So the book that we have this week is The Tiger's Ambush by Tate James. Our characters are Kit, River, Cole, Austin, Caleb, Wesley, Valley, Lucy, Jonathan, and Victor. So we left off when Victor comes home and there's a very tense greeting. Now Kit comes into Victor's view and you can tell that he's kind of taken aback, and the guys are just like, she's not Bridget, and he's just like, yeah, I fucking know that she's not. And he ends up having one of the guys go get some cups and some alcohol, and Austin's the one that makes a smart ass remark of, yeah, give a minor supply minor with alcohol, something like that. And he's just like, minor, she just turned 21 and this is news to her. She thought she had just turned 19. No, she had just turned 21. So 2 years have just gone like that for her. And he's just like, I was there when she was born. And she also finds out that Christina is not her birth name. Now, I'm wondering what her birth name is, and I don't know if we ever find out. That's something, if I can ever talk to Tate, ask her about, and some other questions as well I want to ask. He goes on to tell her that the last time he saw her, she was about 3. And he goes on to tell her what she is. Now, she is known as a Bendai. I believe I'm saying that correctly. And the guys are her Dinasha guardians. So basically, they're going to be... So they are going to be the ones that are going to help her recover from any low energy that she has, either from injury or low power. He goes on to tell her that Bendai usually only have 3 Dinash, but Kit has chosen 6, and there are the 6 guys that are with her. He's telling her what he can, but he has a geese on him, which is a magical NDA, and anytime he gets close to something that is about Bridget herself, he is in a lot of pain. Not long after this, one of the people from the village come to Victor's door explaining that one of the young ones is having this bad reaction to the tranquilizer, and Vic goes and Kit's gonna wants up as well, because Victor believes that Kit has the ability to not only heal her guardians, but to heal everyone else as well. Now, we learn that Bridget could only heal her Dinash and not anyone else. But she is able to heal and save this little girl, but she knows it's time for her and the guys to leave. They are just getting all these dirty looks, and that is a twofold. One, some people might still think she's Bridget, And two, they believe that they had that she and her men had brought the mercenaries to them. Now, while she was helping Vic, the guys had all been put on blast, with basically being told they have to come back to Omega. And it's like a whole employee-wide thing. No, Austin also got a text saying that Master Yoshi had a stroke and he needed and Austin needed to go to him. Now, Master Yoshi is the one who had given Twins a job and taught Austin how to tattoo. Yes, Austin is a tattoo artist. I don't think we've firmly gotten there yet of what he does. I don't think so. So they fly back to Washington, and from there, Austin goes to San Francisco. Now, while the others are driving back to Omega, Kit and the guys are hit by an SUV. And after the car is done rolling, Cole is yelling for Kit while she's trying to get Wes and Caleb, who are sitting in the very back of the vehicle, to answer her. Cole's able to get out along with River, and River ends up with a broken arm. It looks like Cole is fine. Kit is slowly healing herself, but she is not getting anything from Wes and Caleb. And when Cole comes to get Kit, she's just like, no, get the guys in the back first. So once he gets them out, she's had enough time to heal herself. Now she's going to go heal them, and she has just enough left in her to heal them. Now, she has no idea since she healed them both at the same time, she doesn't know if she healed them to the point to where they're going to change. When she wakes up, she's at the guy's apartment in Omega, and Caleb is with her. But before they can do any sort of sexy time, Wes comes in and tells them that Jonathan is here to talk to them. Now, during this conversation, Jonathan is just like, you know what, I want to have Kit to live in the women's dormitory. And the guys are just like, no. She's had multiple people try to hurt her, and we don't feel comfortable letting her out of our sight. And as a father, you should not be okay with that either. And you see this like look come over Jonathan's face, and it was just like annoyance, but in a blink, it's gone. Now, since being rescued from Valley's house, she's had this kind of weird feeling about Jonathan. And something that they do, and River's the one that coordinates this. But Cole and Kit break into the Omega headquarters to go get the blood samples that were taken from all the guys while they're being interrogated by Jonathan, or as they call him, Director Pierre. So they get all the blood samples, and then while she's leaving, she sees something that looks familiar, so she takes it. What she has is the dress that she wore on New Year's Eve when she saved Valley, and it's covered in his blood. And she knew that she threw that away. So a couple days go by, and she gets a text from Austin saying that he needs her help, and she needs to come alone. And he sends an address that's in San Francisco. And we find out this is not sent by Austin, but sent by Master Yoshi. So something that we find out is that the twins have always known about the supernatural world. And Yoshi is the one who taught them everything. And the twins are going to become the ink and blood mages. And it's something that they've known since their early teens. And we'll learn a little bit more of classification of mages as we go on. Kit finally gets there, and she first asked for when she asked for Austin, like she's kind of like brushed off, but then here comes Yoshi, and he's just like, oh, he's upstairs, and she's just like, but you just had a stroke, and she's got this really bad feeling. And when she walks into the room, she sees Austin tied to a chair, unable to have any sound come out of his mouth due to a mage ruin on his face. It was inked on there with permanent marker. And Yoshi goes on to tell Kit how, you know, he was supposed to retire 150 years ago. But, you know, the magical plague had fucked all this up and blah, 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 blah. Goes on and on about it and drops it that, you know, the twins have always known, have known about their destiny for a while. And she is pissed. One, she's pissed at the twins. Two, she's pissed at Yoshi. And three, she's a little mad at herself for not seeing this coming. And she's just like, well, now that you're here and then you could heal him and everything, I can finally retire. So with that, he does a killing blow to Austin, where Kit rushes over and starts to heal him. And it is taking a lot for her to heal him, because he does this killing blow so effectively good. So once she's recovered, she is just like out of breath, has no energy to move, and is just exhausted. Austin is helping Kit recover, and that's when Caleb arrives in a rune circle. And you know, he's just like, I'm gonna help you. And she literally just pushes Caleb away and be just like, no, you knew about all this shit before I even knew about it. You guys are always asking me to, or not even asking, telling me I have to tell you everything about myself, but you can't do the same for me. Like, it's a double standard that they're basically doing to her, where she has to tell them everything, but they don't have to tell her a single goddamn fucking thing. So she's able to shower, and when she's done with the shower, all the rest of the guys are there and they head back to Omega. Things start to slowly go back to normal, but there's small little incidents that happen. One being a girl falls 4 stories to the floor and Kit heals her, but afterwards she doesn't see her again. A guy falls from climbing rope and breaks his leg, but she only heals him to the point where it looks like a bad sprain. Now with the girl, she fully healed her. With the guy, it was only a partial. So she is thinking, you know, if I don't heal them all the way, then they're not going to change. I don't know how true this is. Wes doesn't know if he's been changed when he was healed, but he's starting to see things. And he realizes that, you know, he's seeing these through the eyes of birds, to be crows to be exact. And he keeps this to himself for a little while because he's just trying to figure out more about it before he brings attention to it. And he's not trying to do the same thing that the twins are doing. It's just, you know, he's not fucking sure what's going on. And Wes is the type of person that needs to have most or all of the information before he can tell anyone. That's just how he is. Valley makes another trip to Alaska, and this is to see Vic, and he asks him some questions. One of the questions is if he is Kit's biological father, and he's just like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I am. Also, as if there's something a Bandai would need to complete anything with their guardians, and he tells her or tells him about a Bandai ring. It's something that would have been given to the child at birth, and if she wasn't a Bandai, it just would have been another ring. When Valley tells us the kid tells Kit about the ring, she's just like, I know who had it last, and that is Suzette. She goes, the amount of times I wore that mark on my face or on any other part of my body, I will never forget what it looks like. Cole goes to visit Suzette in prison, and she tells him that Gray has the ring. Cole and he's just like, how did he get it? And she's just like, well, after everything was after the authorities came to Gray came back and said he was gonna take what he was owed and literally took everything out of her safe, including the ring. Anyway, da 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 da. I'm trying to figure out where I am right now. Cole threatens her that if she tells anyone about the visit or what they talked about, he will come back and it won't be a pleasant visit. Cole tells Kit everything when he gets back, and they start to try and they're trying to figure out a plan of how they can get this ring from Gray. And she's just like, and Kit's just like, you know, Gray and his wife do not live in the same house. They have different houses, so I'm pretty sure his wife would have it. And I and so they start talking about it, and then they see that, and it's not for like a couple days later, but they see that in Toronto, there's going to be an auction, and that ring is going to be part of it. And they decide, you know, they're going to go undercover and do a little switch and then get out of there. Lucy and Kit go dress shopping, and while they're shopping, they see Valley and Elena, who turns out to be his sister and is very into Lucy. Valley's trying to go legit in his business, but he needs Elena to be safe and wants Kit and the guys to look after her until then. He doesn't know the backlash that is going to happen, so he'd rather be have Elena safe. And they do. They take her with them when they go to Toronto. Kit and Austin are going undercover as a couple while Wes, Lucy, and Elena run the comms from the hotel. Cole, Caleb, and River are blending in as waiters, or I don't know what else you would call them. Oh fuck. I know what it is. They're not waiters. I can't think of it right now. Oh, I only got about what 5-ish hours of sleep last night, which is a lot, but not enough. Anyway, things are going to plan until Kit sees a woman that's drowning. She saves her, but ends up draining herself. And when Austin takes her somewhere to go get her strength back, they start fighting. And this is because Austin's starting to be his asshole self again, and things take another turn for the worse when his ex Peyton shows up. And so Peyton was this girl that Austin was in love with. And so they were dating for about a year when Peyton got pregnant. And we find out that Austin is not the father, that Peyton had been cheating the entire time. Some other shit went down, but that's why Austin was such an asshole in the beginning. So Peyton's trying to talk to Austin, and he's just frozen, and Kit finally realizes who this is and just leave. But she doesn't get too far when she's taken by Gray and his henchmen. Now she's taken to a soundproof hidden room and tied to a bed. And this doctor comes in, takes her blood, sets up a bag for more blood, like the donation, like if you're giving blood, those type of bags. And tells Gray, don't do anything that can kink the line. Just keep her alive enough to where the blood will still flow. And Gray goes on to torture Kit to the point that she's on the verge of giving up. But while she's in and out of consciousness, Wes is able to communicate with her, and telling her that help is on the way. And Wes is able to get in touch with Austin, and Austin shows up in like the nick of time because she was just about to give up. Austin kills Gray, helps Kit after, or helps Kit after. He is able to give her enough strength to take the knives out of her. They have a hate fuck. And then after that, they have a more gentle hate fuck. And this is when Caleb finds them. But when he sees the amount of blood everywhere, you see him stiffen up. And Austin knows exactly what's going on and is yelling at Caleb to leave. We'll meet him at the top of the stairs just to get the fuck out of the room. So, Austin says a spell, and literally the room, all the blood and Gray's dead body is burnt. So it looks like no one was ever there. And luckily, Kit's dress is red, so all she has to do is wipe down the blood that you can see on her arms. And possibly the chest, depending on how high or low the collar or the neckline of the dress is. So they get back to the hotel and they talk about kind of what happened. And what they find out is on the news, there is a video of two dragons lying. And Kit gets pissed, and they're just like, "We didn't know what to do. We could feel your pain. We could feel everything, and we freaked the fuck out. We started to change, and we had to get out of there so we didn't kill anyone else." Then so she's like, "Oh, okay." So Austin is just like, "Okay, we got the ring. Now we are going to bond." He goes, "I have the best control over my magic." And Caleb's just like, "What?" And he's just, and the thing is, Austin's just like, "Look, you don't have control over the blood yet. Once you have control over that, go right ahead, bond. But you could possibly end up, she could possibly end up hurting more people not being in control of it." And no offense to the lizards, but they're not at the point where it's okay for them to either. They're still learning this out, and we don't even know what the fuck Wes is. And River's still not changed. So that just leaves me. So what they have to do is Austin has to prick his finger, a drop of blood hits the stone of the ring. While this is happening, he says something in Gaelic, and then Kit responds with something in Gaelic, which is basically a, I pledge to you, and she accepts it, something like that. And and so she feels this, it's a little bit of like this pain hit her, and it's just Austin's magic and her magic like waging war in her body. But when she, so they end up like kissing to make the pain go away, and when she finally is able to open her eyes, she sees this giant fucking Bengal tiger just laying in the middle of the room, and we find out that is Austin's familiar. And they're just like, this is the first time a mage has had a familiar in over like 1,000 years, something like that. The next morning, they fly back to Omega, and Kit is going to go talk to Jonathan about some of like the weirdness he's been showing, and her and River go into his office. He's not there, so they're just like kind of waiting for him, and he comes in and he's on the phone with someone, and he doesn't see that Kit and River are there, and he's just talking. He goes, we need to move up the plans. She like, we need to make sure she heals all these people and all this other stuff. And like, you can see, like, you can hear like the hurt, like how much this hurts Kit. And Jonathan like turns around, sees them, and was just like, oh, what are, you shouldn't be in my office. And she goes, we just heard everything you said on the phone. I can't fucking trust you. I'm done with whatever the fuck is going on here. And she leaves. Well, River stays behind for a little bit, then catches up to her. And River had told them that him and the rest of his team had resigned, and they start to leave. While they're leaving, River turns to Kit and says, I think I'm falling in love with you. And Kit says the same thing. So we, at the end of the book, oh no, we end the book with Caleb going to his mentor to help him get control over his blood, which is his, let me think here. So Austin is an ink mage, so he works with he does his spell work with ink, while Caleb does his in blood. So the more powerful the blood is, the harder it is for him to they explained it perfectly in the book. Brain, why won't you work? I know it. I fucking know it. Why? God damn it. So they explain it like bloodlust, like a vampire going on a killing spree. The more powerful the blood, the harder it is to resist. So Kit's would be the most powerful along with Austin's. And it's very tempting to want to, maybe I don't know if consume would be the word you would want to use, but anyway, so he's working with this woman named Madame Zelda, but she has helped them as much as she can. She tells him, you know, I've got a friend who can help you better than I can. And Caleb agrees to meet with this friend. But before he can do this, he has to have a geese put on him by Zelda. And as I said before, these are a magical and DNA. No, NDA. I don't know where that other N came from. I have no fucking idea. And once this is done, Zelda calls out, okay, it's good. You can come in. You're safe. Blah, 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 blah. In comes the friend, and it's none other than Bridget, Kit's mother. And that's where we end the book. Holy shit, a lot has happened. There's so much. I didn't even go into spy school. There's a shit ton of spy school. Lucy's at spy school. Yeah. All right. I don't know, I usually do a thing at the end of this, but it's almost midnight. I still have to edit, so I'm gonna end this here. God, I'm just so tired. Working 9-hour shifts is not fun. Anyway, thinking. Okay, you guys can find me on social media on Instagram at What We Read in the Bedroom Pod. I'm still using the email, not your normal books at gmail.com. I promise you, I'm going to set up a new email at some point. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Every little bit helps put this podcast on the chart and helps other people find it. I don't think there's anything else. I'll be back next week with another book. I know this is a little rush and there's a lot of shit that I really miss. I know this, but if you guys want to know more about this world that Tate has created, read the books. They're fantastic. They're amazing. And I'm going to leave you at this. So I will see you guys all next week.